praise thee, Lord, for thy great plan, that we thy dwelling place may be. Thou living us we filled with thee, thou in the sun expressed might be.
Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
As always, we're very happy to have Francis Ball join us in the studio again today for more fellowship about these wonderful messages from Genesis. Just welcome back.
Thank you very much. It's always a pleasure to be here to participate in the life study of the Bible.
Today, Francis, we come back to Joseph again in the aspect of his maturity in Christ. Joseph is a very special character in the Bible, Francis, a full type of Christ, but one that must be seen together with his father Jacob to fully appreciate his significance. What does this mean as we study these men of the Old Testament that we have seen so much of in these past months?
Well, in studying these men, it's been quite marvelous to see how these events of their lives and the men themselves have been so much opened up to us to see a corporate expression of a person who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ and becomes born of God. These men are really examples, are really types of such a person. We have to see all these men, like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and even Jacob's sons, are all a picture of our experiences in the Christian life. To see these men together, you really get a wonderful picture of our Christian life, and especially here with Jacob and with Joseph. When we come to Joseph, we've come a long way down the line of experience in the Christian life in typology. We see how with Abraham, a man was chosen by God and learned to live by faith. We see in Isaac, a man who really enjoyed the divine things, enjoyed the blessings that God gave him. And in Jacob, we saw a long line of experiences of how a person becomes transformed and matures. So now in Joseph, we're going to see how eventually this life comes to the point of reigning in life. So I'm looking forward to today's message because, as I recall, the way this was brought out at the time we had these studies, Joseph was really a perfect picture of a believer who has reached such a stage in the maturity of life, illustrated by Jacob, that he now is a person reigning in life and able to supply many, many others with life.
Francis, your memory serves you well. I believe that's exactly where we're going today. Let's join Witness Lee for this life study.
Genesis is really a wonderful book.
Amen.
The more we get into it, the more we would realize that no human mentality can compose such a book.
Amen.
Apparently, it is a book of stories. Yet, when we get into the depth of the record by the Holy Spirit, we could see something so profound, something so meaningful, just according to our experiences. From Genesis chapter 37 to chapter 50, it's hard for you to separate the record of Joseph from that of Jacob. You must recognize these are not two biographies. These are just one biography with two aspects. Spiritually speaking, Joseph was not a separate person. He was just an aspect of a mature saint. In the whole Bible, only two persons are perfect. One in the New Testament, that is Jesus. And the other one in the Old Testament, that is Joseph. Well, you may say, oh, Joseph was a type of Christ. Surely he got to be perfect. Don't say this. Let me check with you. Was not David a type of Christ? My, this type of Christ committed the most gruesome sin. I tell you, all the personal types in the Old Testament eventually were not so good. But only one. One exception. That is Joseph. Joseph, who was the type of Christ, was perfect. Why? Because Joseph is not a complete person. Joseph is just the aspect, the top aspect, the reigning aspect of who? Not of a fallen person. Not of a childish saint. But of a matured Israel. We are not perfect. But listen, our reigning aspect, that's perfect. That's perfect. Whenever you are reigning there, in the spirit, you are perfect. So Joseph is not a complete person, just an aspect of a matured saint. And this mature saint has passed through the choosing, the fall, the calling, justification, and so forth, and so forth, and so forth. Surely, passing through all these experiences, these mature saints does have an aspect so perfect. And this aspect is fully what? Is fully constituted with Christ. So Joseph represents the constituted aspect of a mature saint. In every one of us, there is a part constituted with Christ. You just got regenerated last night. You have a part there. Constituted with Christ. What part? That is your regenerated spirit. A part of regeneration in your spirit becomes the very beginning of Christ's constitution in you. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, within us, we do have Christ's constitution. Amen. And this constitution will go on and on and on until it reaches its top, its climax. And that will be the reigning aspect of a mature you. So this aspect is perfect. It is just Christ constituted in a matured saint.
Francis, these blended biographies of Jacob and Joseph illustrate to us the aspect of reigning, that of a mature believer, one who has fully been constituted with Christ. Witness Lee pointed out that this constitution begins the moment we're saved, regenerated. And it's completed when we reach this reigning stage of life. What is meant by this term, constituted?
Well, this term, constituted, has a meaning either way you look at it. For example, when a man fell by sinning in the garden, immediately man got constituted with sin, and he became a sinner. We can find out in Romans chapter 5, for example, that when one man fell, we all fell. So this word is used in a different sense, in a very positive sense, in regard to our personal life as a Christian. We all have the desire to express Christ, to be one with Christ, to enjoy Christ, but not many have realized that when you get regenerated, when you get born again of the Spirit of God, a constitution begins in your spirit. That constitution makes you a different kind of person. And this constitution is only beginning with our regeneration, our initial, what we would call salvation, because that transpires in our spirit and we get another life. And this life is reconstituting us so that we are now constituted with something divine. The Bible even talks about us with all the precious promises in the Bible that we're partakers of the divine nature. To be partaking of the divine nature means God's very divine nature, and you might say even the aspects of all that Christ is being worked into our inner being. So our mind will be renewed. The renewing of the mind is part of the constituting us with the divine life and nature. And then our emotions, the love of God begins to pour into our emotions. Even the things that God hates, we hate. Even our will, we become one with God in His will. So mind, emotion, and will, the parts of our soul, are all being reconstituted with the divine nature and with the very elements of Christ, the attributes of God being worked into our thinking, into our feeling, into our deciding. All of these things are transpiring in us to reconstitute us. And when we see this example with Jacob and then now coming up to Joseph, we realize Joseph is a man who is fully constituted with God. And therefore, he has reached the stage in typology of a man reigning in life. So this kind of word means quite a lot to us, because one time we were constituted with sin, but now, praise the Lord, we're being reconstituted with the divine nature, the divine life, and even all of the attributes of God's nature are being poured into our human virtues to express Him here on earth. In this way, by the growth in life, we will be matured to the point we can reign in life by Jesus Christ.
Francis, I couldn't help but think during your very clear definition of the word constituted, all those messages we saw of Jacob, he was a vivid picture of just this process, because certainly by the end of his life, something constitutionally had changed, not just his behavior.
That's certainly true.
And now we're seeing the reigning aspect in Joseph.
Isn't that glorious?
It's a wonderful picture. Let's go back to Witness Lee for more of this life study.
The constitution of Christ in our mature life is a shepherding life, taking care of others. You see, Joseph, in this chapter, was not only feeding, shepherding the flock, he was even sent by his father, the youngest brother, to shepherd his brothers. And the Lord Jesus came as what? As a shepherd. Oh, the constitution of Christ in our special life is a shepherding aspect in our life. You cannot shepherd, but Christ constituted in you. That is the shepherd. If you don't know how to shepherd others, if you don't have a burden to shepherd others, to feed others, I tell you, you could never reign. The reign of authority comes from the shepherding life. It is so good, eventually, you know, Joseph did reign over his brothers. But he didn't reign over his brother first. He shepherded his brother first in chapter 37. Jesus came not as a king to reign over others, but as what? As a shepherd. In John 10, it says so, and the good shepherd gives his life for the flock. Jesus came as a shepherd, and he was killed. He gave his life for his flock. Joseph, in this chapter, chapter 37, did the same thing. He went to shepherd his brothers, and his brothers nearly killed him. And he gave his life for this kind of shepherding. So, brother, it's good. You got into the church life, and you do have a shepherding life within you.
Francis, out of the reigning life resulting from our being constituted fully with Christ comes a shepherding life as well. This is a wonderful point, again illustrated by Joseph. It's quite something that in the maturity of life, he became a shepherd to his brothers, the same ones that had so cruelly mistreated him many years before, isn't it?
That is a marvelous picture. You know, I think it's been made clear in this program even up to this point that shepherding comes before reigning. In other words, it's the picture that's seen by the Lord Jesus himself. Of course, he came to establish God's kingdom on the earth, to reign. But actually, he's the good shepherd. First of all, he came as a shepherd. And the picture that's given with Joseph and his brothers is very much a copy of what the Lord Jesus experienced. He came to his brothers, and they murdered him. And with Joseph, they put him in the place of death, but God still used him. With the Lord Jesus, he was put on the cross and died, but he was raised up. And now today, he's not only the good shepherd who gave his life for the sheep, but he's the great shepherd who's shepherding us all the days of our life. Maybe many have not realized that as a shepherd, he's a shepherd in different aspects. As I said, as a good shepherd, he gave his life for the sheep. But as the great shepherd, he's in resurrection. We see this in Hebrews chapter 13. He's the great shepherd of the sheep. And today in his resurrection, even in the heavenlies, he's shepherding us with his divine life day by day, taking us through all kinds of experiences. We were the ones, you could say, who cruelly treated him, who were against him, who were jealous of him. We didn't understand him, and we put him on the cross. But just as Joseph still shepherded his brothers, so the Lord Jesus shepherds us. And not only that, he's brought us another life and put that life inside of us. And now he's shepherding us to live that life which expresses Christ himself day by day. So this matter of being a shepherd is quite enjoyable. Everyone likes to think of reigning in life. But to be reigning in life, you have to be a person who's willing to shepherd others, even those who may not like you so much. Still, you shepherd all those for the Lord's sake and for their good. So I hope that from these illustrations we see in the Old Testament, we could learn to be not only good shepherds laying down our life, but we'd learn to be a partaker of the same nature and attitude as the great shepherd. And then one day, the Lord Jesus will come back as the chief shepherd and take over everything because he is the one who's reigning in life.
Amen. That is wonderful fellowship, and these points are just marvelous. Let's go back to Witness Lee. We have more yet ahead.
Suppose you were Joseph. Would you think all the brothers so heavenly, full of life, full of light? Even this time itself says Joseph always reported the evil things of his brothers to his father. My, these brothers, according to chapter 37, full of hatred, anger. In the next chapter 38, full of lust. This is the record of all these brothers. Joseph reported all the evils to the father, and Joseph saw all these evil things. But listen, the dream came. If I were the one who gave Joseph the dream, I would give him such a dream. What a dream. One lamb and 11 gophers. But the first dream was not so bad. All the 12 were sheep. I tell you, this is God's view. Oh, Joseph, all the time reported nothing good, but all evils. Reuben, oh, Simeon, oh, this one so poor, and that one so poor. And I saw all their evils, and now I suffered their evils. Oh, full of temper, full of lust, and so forth. But God came to give him a dream. Joseph, you are the same as they are. You are a sheep. They are also sheep. No difference. The only difference is that I choose you. But you are not better than them. You have just come into church for 2 weeks, right? Sure, you would think, "Wow, this is good. The church is marvelous, wonderful. Oh, look at the elders. Oh, look at sisters. Oh, marvelous." The more you love the church, the more gophers you see. The more you care for the saints, the more turtles, scorpions, even some frogs, some even snakes. Oh, Lord, you know, oh, the poor situation. I tell you, you need a dream. The heavenly dream will come to tell you, you are not better, and the others are not worse. In God's view, all his people are sheaves, full of life to produce food for God's meal offering, for God's satisfaction, and for man's satisfaction. Isn't this meaningful? The Bible has a principle. If anything that's true, it is always confirmed. Two witnesses, also two dreams. The next came. If I gave the next dream, I would give a dream like this. A lampstand shining there. And all the rest, 11, are what? Black stone. But the dream God gave him was the sun, the moon, all the 11 stars. Not only heavily, but full of light. In God's eyes, all these condemned, accused people are full of life and full of light. So don't accuse the brothers. Be careful. The reading aspect never condemns. The reading aspect shepherds and are priests. Oh, wonderful church life. Wonderful saints. You see, brother, I cannot tell a lie. If this is a lie, and this means you don't have the dream. You don't have the dream, you don't have the vision. You are short of the heavenly view. Maybe you are right. Maybe the church is really wrong. All the saints are scorpions, gophers, and so forth. But if you say this, you condemn this way, you suffer the loss of life. But whenever you say, "Praise you, Lord. Your people are full of life. Your people are full of light." And the first one would be you who participates in so much life.
Amen.
Hallelujah. This is God's view. This is the heavenly view. I'm fully encouraged. I'm serving the sheaves. I'm walking among the stars, under the sun, and under the moon. I tell you, the more I declare this, the more I'm full of life. I do believe many of you have experienced this. Let us have the eternal view. Hallelujah. Praise Him.
Francis, this was the best conclusion. To see as God sees is really an indication that we are reigning in life. We see our brothers and sisters as gophers and scorpions, to quote Witness Lee, but God sees them as sheaves full of life and as shining stars. What kind of glasses, Francis, give us this view?
You know, I think Brother Lee has made this very vivid in this message today, that we look at people in an entirely different way than he does. But now we have to realize God has a telescopic view. He's looking at us, and we should look at our brothers and sisters like he looks at us. And that is as real sheaves of life and as shining stars. So we're in life and we're in the light. With this, you need to have God's view. So to get God's view, we need His Word, we need His mind, we need His imparting Himself into us. We could see things from His point of view. May the Lord grant all of us such a view of our brothers and sisters, and not to judge them before the time.
Wonderful. I appreciate your being here today, Francis. This was very enjoyable.
Thank you very much.
For Francis Ball, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you for listening today.